When Donald Trump spoke at a small Christian college in Iowa in 2016, he didn't sound like a traditional Christian candidate. He boasted about his wealth, warned about immigrants, and claimed Christianity was under siege. Despite his crude language and questionable morals, white evangelicals embraced him enthusiastically. 81% would eventually vote for him. This wasn't a bizarre aberration or hypocritical compromise. It was the culmination of decades of evangelical culture building that had gradually transformed Jesus from a gentle shepherd into a warrior king more reminiscent of John Wayne than the Sermon on the Mount. Trump's appeal to evangelicals wasn't despite his aggressive masculinity and authoritarian tendencies. It was precisely because of them. Over 75 years, evangelicals had constructed a militant masculine ideal through books, music, films, and consumer products that celebrated a particular vision of Christian manhood defined by toughness, authority, and willingness to use force in defense of faith, family, and nation. Early 20th century American Christianity faced a masculinity crisis as industrialization diminished the value of physical strength. As immigrants arrived and women entered professional life, white Protestant men responded by promoting a tougher, more aggressive form of faith. Theodore Roosevelt personified this shift. Once mocked as Punkin' Lily, he transformed himself into the Cowboy of the Dakotas, with the frontier becoming a symbol of masculine Christian authority through righteous force. Ex-baseball player Billy Sunday championed muscular Christianity, rejecting what he called sissy piety. During World War I, he merged patriotism with faith, declaring people either patriots or traitors to both country and Christ. Post-war, Billy Graham became evangelicalism's new face. Tall, Nordic-featured, and athletic, he portrayed Christianity as a faith for real he-men and depicted Jesus as the most physically powerful man who had ever lived. Despite his personal flaws, including multiple marriages, affairs, and heavy drinking, John Wayne became an evangelical icon by embodying their ideal of masculinity. As Hollywood's premier cowboy soldier, he captured Cold War America's imagination. Wayne's stardom soared with 1948's Red River and Fort Apache amid rising Cold War tensions. His role as Sergeant Stryker in Sands of Iwo Jima, 1949, merged the cowboy and soldier archetypes. Though never serving in the military himself, Wayne's persona defined American toughness, with his catchphrases becoming conservative rallying cries. Billy Graham, though a registered Democrat, strategically aligned with Republicans, particularly encouraging Eisenhower to run for president. Graham and Eisenhower viewed Christianity as essential in combating communism, which Graham called the greatest enemy we have ever known. This positioned evangelicals within mainstream political power. The Vietnam War crystallized evangelical identity. While the left questioned the war's morality, conservative evangelicals strengthened their support, viewing Vietnam as both a military and masculinity crisis. When evangelicals mobilized politically in the 1970s, they championed family values as a means to reinforce patriarchal authority. This agenda emphasized male dominance both domestically through fathers controlling children and husbands ruling wives, and nationally through military strength. Jerry Falwell emerged as a key figure, founding the Moral Majority in 1979. His book, Listen America, portrayed the nation as threatened by communism and moral decline through welfare programs, divorce, abortion, and laws challenging traditional authority. Falwell linked Christian values to military power, arguing that faith justified aggressive foreign policy. This stance contrasted sharply with his 1960s position opposing Christian political involvement, especially in civil rights. As a segregationist, Falwell had denounced civil rights activism as communist-influenced and resisted integration, establishing his own Christian academy when Virginia desegregated schools. In 1980, evangelical leaders backed Ronald Reagan over Jimmy Carter, whom they saw as ineffective. Despite Reagan's limited religious background, they embraced him for his masculine authority, anti-communist position, and ability to connect with their constituency. In summer 1997, Promise Keepers drew 700,000 Christian men to Washington, D.C. for their Stand in the Gap rally. The movement had grown from 4,200 men at its first rally to 1.2 million nationwide by 1996. The 1990s evangelical men's movement featured competing masculinity visions. Ed Cole advocated soft patriarchy, a middle ground between macho and gentle manhood. Others rejected rigid gender differences, pointing to Jesus' gentle example. Promise Keepers embraced both through servant leadership, which reframed male authority as duty and sacrifice. Yet despite emphasizing tenderness, Promise Keepers often reinforced patriarchy. Tony Evans urged men to take back leadership with no compromise, claiming male authority was essential for cultural survival. John Eldridge's 2001 bestseller Wild at Heart ushered in militant evangelical masculinity. He rejected modern office life as emasculating, promoting instead a frontier spirituality with a warrior God who made men aggressive and dangerous. For Eldridge, every man needed a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. The 9/11 attacks transformed evangelical masculinity with renewed emphasis on manly heroes. The War on Terror, led by an evangelical president, linked foreign threats to concerns about raising strong boys. This militant turn intensified through God-men revivals and Christian mixed martial arts ministries. Groups like Extreme Ministries merged church with MMA training, while evangelist Brad Stein rallied against the wussification of America. Barack Obama's presidency challenged white evangelical values, sparking opposition centered on religious freedom issues. After years of viewing Christianity as besieged by communism, feminism, and Islamic terrorism, evangelicals saw Hillary Clinton's candidacy as an even greater threat, priming them for Trump's aggressive masculinity. 3 months into Trump's presidency, three-quarters of white evangelicals approved of his performance, nearly twice his approval rating among the general public. Since the 1960s, evangelicals had championed discipline within a patriarchal chain of command, believing God equipped men to exercise authority in homes and society. What puzzled observers wasn't evangelicals' embrace of authoritarian leaders, but their support of men who mocked their family values. Neither the Access Hollywood tape nor allegations from 16 women shook evangelical support. When Trump's affair with Stormy Daniels surfaced, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council explained they gave him a mulligan for being willing to punch the bully. This dismissal of sexual misconduct stems from evangelical beliefs linking patriarchal power to masculine aggression. Men position themselves as protectors, but protection depends on women's purity and submission, creating environments where abuse victims are often blamed for seducing their abusers. By 2008, the Gaither vocal band's Jesus and John Wayne showed how thoroughly Jesus had been recast as a badass warrior. This militant Christ transformed both Christian manhood and Christianity itself, with masculine militancy becoming central to evangelical identity across family, politics, and foreign policy. Understanding this ideology's development is crucial for comprehending modern American evangelicalism and enabling change. The militant, authoritarian Jesus fashioned in John Wayne's image may have delivered political power, but at significant cost to the faith itself.